This is Images. I'm Fred Martino. We're continuing our in-depth coverage of education this week. My guest is Sharon Morgan, president of the National Education Association, New Mexico. Sharon, thanks so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Great to have you with us. We're going to discuss a variety of issues today. First, I want to get your reaction to some news. A political operative for Governor Martinez, as you're aware, collected the email addresses of union and non-union New Mexico educators, and that information was sent to private email addresses. In the wake of this, the governor just announced that private email addresses will no longer be used for government business. I want to get your reaction to this story that this kind of activity, collecting the email addresses of, as I mentioned, union and non-union educators, was being done and then passed on for some purpose. What are your thoughts?
Well, on the surface, it certainly appeared to be very questionable activity and very questionable judgment about collecting that information. It was not something that was easily available. It was something that took a lot of resources, as described in some of the articles. The Public Education Department staff had to spend quite a bit of time going to every district's website and collecting that information and then putting it together and sending it to some political groups. And that is very questionable and very concerning to me that the Public Education Department would be putting that information together. I was glad to see that they refused to give out home addresses of school employees.
As you know, there are some leaders calling for the Attorney General's office to look into this issue. What are your thoughts?
Well, that would make sense to me. I think we do need some neutral party to take a look at that and make sure that it was all being done above board and all the laws were being addressed and followed.
Okay. New Mexico is launching a new teacher evaluation system in some schools this fall. I understand that the NEA is opposed to that. Tell me what is involved and why you're opposed.
NEA is not opposed to that. In fact, our executive director, Charles Boyer, helped craft the compromise legislation. He worked with Secretary-designee Scandera and with legislators to craft the compromise bill that formed the basis for the movement now. So that compromise legislation, we supported. We also have two representatives on the Teacher Evaluation Advisory Council, and so they are also participating fully in that process. And so we are watching it. We are looking at the proposed regulations that or the proposed rules that are out for public comment right now. And right now, we are working with the department and with our members around the state to make sure that we have a plan that will help students be successful and help teachers be successful.
Okay. So the particular plan that is going to be essentially piloted, then, you are in favor of that, then?
At this point, as long as it continues to follow the legislation, the compromise legislation, and it appears that it does, then yes, we are supporting that. There are some things that we'll be watching. There's a lot of questions around teachers who do not have students assigned to them and what assessments are going to be used so that that'll be a comparable measure to teachers that do have a standardized assessment. We want to make sure that inclusion teachers who work with special education students in the regular classroom, as well as other intervention programs, that those teachers have a fair way of being evaluated. And certainly the non-tested grades, kindergarten, first, and second, we want to make sure that those teachers have some comparable and fair measures so that their evaluation based on student growth is really based on their students and the progress and the influence that that teacher makes on those students' lives and their learning.
In terms of this whole issue of education reform, what do you make of the state's new A through F grading policy for schools?
I've talked to our members around the state about that, and there's some mixed feelings. For the most part, we are glad to not have the AYP, where it's a fail, no, you know, pass-fail system, because that wasn't working. It didn't give a good indication of how our schools were doing. But the A to F still has some questions. There's still a lot of concern about just how those grades are being calculated. Apparently, there's like a black box where all this data goes into it, and a grade comes out. We want to know more about what's in that black box and how that's determined.
Along these lines, in one Las Cruces school that received an F, teachers had to reapply for their jobs if they wanted to stay in that school. What do you make of that?
I am very concerned about a program or a blanket decision to just say all the teachers here have to reapply for their positions. I know our local union there and our local president, Patrick Sanchez, really worked hard with the district to make sure that teachers' jobs were protected and other school employees' jobs were protected, and that if they chose not to reapply for that school and chose to go to another school, that would have no negative implications for their career, that was an option for them. The fact that they had to reapply, that's the part I still have some concerns about that. I don't know that is not what I would see as the best way of handling a school that got an F and helping students and the community and the teachers there to be more successful. It doesn't help morale.
And along those lines, I'd like to get your thoughts on this issue of education reform in a broader way that often is not approached in the commercial media. Critics of most education reform thus far say that the focus is just about test scores and teachers and schools, but it does not look at ways to address poverty and what's going on in the home, which we know through research has an enormous effect on the average educational attainments. Not only in the U.S., but across the world. What are your thoughts?
No, Fred, I think you are absolutely right. That is exactly what the issue is we are not addressing the home environment, the poverty, the language issues. We're saying we can make a judgment about a student or a teacher based on a single test score, and we can't because there is so much more involved. We have to look at the poverty, and we have to address those issues. Kids have to come to school well-fed. They have to be healthy. We have to make sure that we're providing all those other community kinds of supports and family supports for our students in order for them to be successful. That is absolutely critical.
Sharon, how do you think schools can get parents and guardians more involved in this? Because, as I mentioned, we know that is a critical part of educational attainment. In fact, some research has even looked at some specific things you may be aware of, like whether or not the child has dinner in the home with the parent or guardian, and how that has a correlation, an enormous correlation, in terms of academic achievement. It's a fascinating piece of research that's often completely overlooked when you talk about education and education reform.
You're right. I think that all that research that's coming out now, even in this last Sunday's paper, and they talked about or wrote about the difference that it makes when you sit down and have a meal together and how much better students do. It's just fascinating research. And I think a lot of elementary schools in particular do a lot of parent engagement activities. They have parent nights. They bring parents in to do some activities with their students so that they can see how they can do those interactions at home as well, and how you can be grocery shopping or cooking with your child and teaching and having those conversations and making those connections. Where we seem to start losing that is at the middle and high school levels, and I'd love to hear some more ideas about how we can engage parents at those levels more. I have a granddaughter who's a middle schooler, and so I know at that age they don't want their parents to be around as much. They don't want them there. They're sort of going out on their own and exploring, and they really don't want that support, but they need it more than ever, I think, at that age. So I'd love to explore that some more with you, because I think that's something we could all work together on.
We're talking with Sharon Morgan. She's the president of the National Education Association New Mexico, if you're just joining us. And Sharon, when we were preparing for this conversation today, I got a release from the NEA that said that you have something called a priority schools campaign that you're working on. Tell me about that.
Well, the priority schools are similar to the priority schools we have here in New Mexico. It's the schools where they're usually high poverty schools. They're schools with children who are not, or students who are not being as successful. And so it's focusing attention on them, providing extra resources, additional professional development, more outreach to the community, as we were just discussing, so that we do have that community and parent engagement to help those students be more successful.
Are there other, Sharon, reform ideas that the NEA supports that we haven't talked about thus far? I know you mentioned earlier a number of things that you are watching closely in terms of New Mexico's evaluation system, but are there other things that folks should be aware of that the NEA supports in terms of education reform efforts?
And some of these may not seem like reform, Fred, but they are good practice. We know that smaller class sizes make a difference. We know that having adequate materials and supplies makes a difference. We know that having all students have access to the technology that's available makes a difference and puts them on a more even playing field. But we also know that early intervention programs are critical. We have got to identify the students at a very early age who we can tell are going to be behind if we don't provide those interventions. These are the students who may not have any books in their home. They may not have paper and pencil and opportunities to go out and explore and do field trips and see what their world is like. We have got to provide programs to help those students be more successful. And then when students begin school, we need to have options for interventions that could include a longer day or a longer school year so that they don't have those long breaks where they can lose so much. Those are some of the things that we have been doing in the past, and we know they work, and it's something we need to stay committed to.
Of course, many of these ideas take additional funding, and some of that funding does come from the federal government. It's a pivotal year for the future of the nation. At risk is control of Congress, where Republicans are making a strong play for the Senate, including right here in New Mexico. What's at stake, Sharon?
Everything. Public education is really at stake. This is going to be a critical year as to whether we will continue to support and fund public education and other public services. We will continue to build the middle class. It's just this election is more critical than any in my memory.
Along those lines, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I said it's just that important.
Along those lines, in the presidential election as well, there is enormous attention. The NEA supports President Obama. Tell me about that.
Well, we looked at his record, and the delegates last year at our Representative Assembly decided to again support President Obama in his reelection. He has been there for us, for our students. He saved health care for millions of low-income children and prevented those efforts to slash Medicaid for them. He protected health care for millions of uninsured families. He's worked to against the attacks on workers' rights. He's stopped so many of the cuts to public education that would have been cut by something like almost $18 billion, and he worked to make sure that that didn't happen. He has worked, of course, to preserve Social Security and protected retirement security in general. He has been just a real advocate for Middle America and certainly for educators and for our students.
Specifically on education, as you know, some union members and others have been unhappy with the president's Race to the Top program. What are your thoughts about that? And if there is one, an NEA position on that program?
I think Race to the Top has some flaws in it. We did work in New Mexico. We were part of the group that came up with a plan to address or to be able to apply for Race to the Top funding. But in general, I believe that we should not have to compete with each other for limited funds for programs that support our neediest students. And so we had some differences of opinion, but he was still willing to put money in. We may not have agreed totally with the way the money was being distributed, but we absolutely supported the fact that he was putting money into public education and making it available to schools to help kids. And that's what's important here.
Of course, it's also important when we look at education to talk about the state legislature that decides on funding. Tell me about your legislative focus at the state level, areas where action needs to be taken. Maybe there's some areas as well you want to talk about where you've been pleased, where things have moved forward.
Well, the legislature this year did take action to restore some of the funding for retirement. You know, teachers had the state budget had been balanced on the back of school employees as they were having to pick up the state share of some of the retirement costs. And so the legislature was able to put some of that money. They made that a commitment this year and restored that so the teachers will have a little bit of a pay increase this year just because that money won't be deducted from their paychecks. And so that's a real relief because most employees have not seen a pay raise in at least the past 4 years, and they've seen their benefits decrease. So that's one of the good things. There was also more money put into public education this year, and that's also a good thing. And what we need to work on, though, is restoring funding back to the 2008 levels because we are still millions of dollars shy of the 2008 level, and we're working towards that. We would like to see funding restored. We'd like to see the waivers for on class size limits end. There were lots of really high numbers in a lot of our kindergarten through second grade classes, even fourth and fifth grade classes this past year, the past couple of years, in order to protect, in order to meet budget requirements. So they had to really raise class sizes, and the legislature had passed waivers to enable districts to do that. But it's not good for kids to have 22, 23 kids in a kindergarten class, to have 28 to 30 kids in a third or fourth grade class. We just can't meet individual needs that way. So we need to go back to the class size limits. We need to restore funding. We need to continue early intervention programs for our students. And we need to make sure that any changes to teacher evaluation are done in a thoughtful way and meet the needs of both teachers and kids, and don't look for just a quick fix or a political fix.
Okay. Final thoughts here, Sharon. You are participating in the 150th Annual National Education Association Representative Assembly. Tell me about that and the issues that the NEA is going to be focusing on nationally at this assembly and where it will take you from here.
Okay, well, the Representative Assembly is 9,000 members coming together from across the country representing our state and local affiliates, student members, retired members, all members of the education community, and we come together in a very democratic, deliberative manner to take action on legislative issues, policy making, and it is just an exciting time because every member, our 32 delegates there from New Mexico, have as much of a voice and opportunity to speak as any of the other 9,000 delegates. And so it's a very exciting time. And it is our primary decision-making body of the association.
You spoke powerfully, eloquently about the fact that this year, this election, this fall, is so important. Tell me, do you get the sense at the assembly that this will be really a call to action amongst NEA members nationally to understand what's at stake?
Absolutely. This is critical, and I think our members understand that, and there will be lots of discussion around how we can make sure that all of our members back home in the States. All the delegates at the IRA understand that. We want to make sure that everyone back around the country also understands how critical this election is. Yes.
Sharon Morgan, she is the president of the National Education Association, New Mexico. Sharon, thank you so much for being with us.
It was great.